Welcome to episode 978 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Tradition holds that Paul wrote the first epistle to Timothy from Macedonia, likely in the region of northern Greece. After his release from his first Roman imprisonment, around AD 62, Paul traveled to various places, including Macedonia. During this period, he left Timothy in Ephesus to oversee the church there and deal with specific issues, such as false teachings and the need for proper church order.
Prayer. How many times have I fallen to my knees weary from the journey, the cold floor beneath me, my heart reaching up to heaven? How many times have I found myself alone in the quiet of the night, with only the flickering flame of a dim candle and the thoughts that race through my mind? I speak to the one who knows me better than I know myself. Prayer has been my constant companion, my secret refuge, my anchor in the fiercest of storms. I remember that road to Damascus, blinded by a light that pierced not just my eyes, but my very soul. I heard his voice then, the voice of the one I had unknowingly persecuted. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Oh, how those words echoed in the chambers of my heart. I was struck blind, unable to see, unable to move forward. For 3 days I fasted, prayed, and trembled. It was in those hours of darkness I prayed with a desperation I had never known. My eyes were closed, but my spirit was wide open, searching for understanding, for peace, for forgiveness. And there, in that place of brokenness, I met him. I met the one who holds all things together. From that moment, prayer became my lifeline. I have prayed in synagogues, in homes, in the open air, and in prison cells. Oh, those prison cells. I have known them too well. The iron chains, the dank smell of stone walls, the cold creeping into my bones. Yet, I have found that even there, especially there, prayer brings a warmth that the cold of this world cannot extinguish. I think of Silas and me, imprisoned in Philippi. The night was dark, the air thick with the scent of mildew and the groans of other prisoners. Our feet were fastened in stocks, our bodies bruised from the beating. And what did we do? We sang, we prayed. At midnight, our voices rose like incense, filling that place with a sound that was not of this world. And then the ground shook. The earth itself seemed to tremble in response to our prayers. Chains broke loose, doors flew open. Freedom came in a way we had not anticipated. How many times have I knelt praying for strength when my body was weak, for courage when my spirit faltered, for wisdom when I did not know the way? There were times when I felt utterly alone, abandoned by those I loved, betrayed, forgotten. Yet I was never truly alone, for in those moments, prayer brought me into the very presence of God. I have prayed with tears streaming down my face, with groans too deep for words, with joy that could not be contained. I have prayed for the churches. Oh, how I have prayed for them. Each congregation, each precious soul, they are engraved on my heart. I pray for their faith to remain strong, for their love to abound, for their hope to endure. Prayer has been my weapon against the enemy's lies, my defense against despair. When I was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, and hungry, prayer sustained me. When I was falsely accused, mocked, and misunderstood, prayer gave me peace. It has been the unseen thread that has woven itself through every fabric of my life. It has connected me to my Maker, to my Savior, to the one who knows every thought, every struggle, every joy. I remember the journey that brought me to Rome, the long, winding path paved with uncertainty, yet always guided by the hand of the Lord. It feels like a lifetime ago, though it's only been a few years. When I first set foot on Roman soil, I was in chains, a prisoner bound for trial before Caesar himself. The charges against me were vague, the accusations unproven. I had appealed to Caesar, knowing it was my right as a Roman citizen and trusting that God had a purpose in it. 2 years I spent under house arrest in that great city, but even in chains I was not silenced. God opened doors for me to preach the gospel to all who would listen. Oh, how many came to hear the good news! Soldiers, citizens, even some from Caesar's household. The message of Christ cannot be confined, not by walls, not by chains. I wrote letters to the churches, encouraged the brethren, prayed without ceasing. Those were days of labor, but also of grace as I saw the power of the Spirit moving even in the heart of Rome. Then by God's mercy, and in response to my prayers, I was released. The charges, flimsy as they were, could not hold me. The Roman authorities found no crime worthy of death or imprisonment. I believe they saw in me not a criminal, but a man compelled by something greater, by the love of Christ and the call to proclaim his name. I know that I will not be free forever. The Lord has shown me that the Emperor Nero will one day turn his hand against our people. But now, for a season, there is room to breathe, to preach, to continue the work the Lord has set before me. And so I did not linger in Rome. I yearned to go further, to reach those places where the name of Jesus had not yet been heard. Spain. Ah, Spain. For years I had longed to go there, to bring the gospel to the farthest reaches of the Roman Empire. I know some will say it is folly to journey so far when there is so much work still to be done closer to home. But I have always believed that the gospel must go to the ends of the earth. And if I can be the vessel for that, even in my old age, then so be it. But I have not forgotten the churches in Asia, in Macedonia, in Achaia. I have traveled again to Ephesus, to Philippi, to Crete, strengthening the brothers and sisters, appointing leaders, encouraging them to stand firm in the faith. My heart rejoices when I see the church growing, rooted in love and truth, standing strong against the storms of false teaching and division. Yet I know the enemy does not rest. There are still wolves among the flock, still threats from within and without. So I write to Timothy, my beloved son in the faith, and to Titus, my true child in our common faith. I write to guide them, to encourage them, to instruct them on how to lead the church in truth and in love. They are young, yes, but they are faithful. I see in them the courage and strength that will carry the gospel forward long after I am gone. But it is not only in the grand moments of ministry that I pray. I pray in the quiet hours of the night when sleep eludes me, and the weight of the church's struggles rests heavy on my shoulders. I pray when the sun rises, casting its first light over the city, a reminder of God's faithfulness with each new day. I pray for the brothers and sisters who are suffering for the name of Christ, scattered across the empire, standing firm amidst the fires of persecution. I pray for the leaders who must shepherd them with wisdom, grace, and courage. I have seen the power of prayer break open prison doors, heal the sick, restore the brokenhearted, and embolden the timid. I have felt the warmth of God's presence in the darkest moments, when the shadows of doubt and fear threatened to overwhelm me. In those moments, prayer became my fortress, my hiding place, my source of strength. Prayer has been the lifeline that keeps me tethered to the one who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so, I write to you, Timothy, as a man who has learned through every trial, every victory, that prayer must be the foundation of all we do. I urge you, my dear son in the faith, to make prayer a priority in your life and ministry. Pray for all people, for kings and all those in authority. Intercede for them with thanksgiving, that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Do not neglect the power of prayer, for it is the very breath of our faith, the channel through which God's will flows. Prayer is not just a personal refuge or a secret weapon. It is the means by which we bring God's kingdom closer to earth. When we pray for those in power, even those who oppose us or do not know the Lord, we acknowledge that their hearts are in His hands. Through prayer, we seek peace, not only for ourselves but for all people, so that the gospel may spread unhindered, that the name of Christ may be exalted, and that all may come to the knowledge of the truth. Remember, Timothy, our prayers are not in vain. They are woven into the very fabric of God's plan for His creation. Pray with fervor, with humility, with confidence. Pray for the rulers who govern, that they may make decisions aligned with God's justice. Pray for the church, that it may stand firm in holiness and love. Pray for the lost, that they might find salvation in Christ. In every breath, in every moment, let prayer rise like incense before the Lord, for this is pleasing in His sight. Father, I lift up all believers who call upon your name. May you guide and strengthen them in the days ahead, filling them with your spirit of wisdom, courage, and love. Keep us steadfast in faith, fervent in prayer, and bold in proclaiming the truth of your gospel. Help us to remember that in every trial and every triumph, you are with us, guiding us with your hand.
That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest, today.